28 Delta Golf. Marginal signal coming in there.
Yeah, I was just leaving my house. It's going to be a bit crappy. About 5 minutes.
Oh, that transmission improved considerably. Go ahead, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. Wait till I get closer to the hill. It really gets bad. If it gets annoying, you don't have to listen. I'm doing good. Heading to Charlotte today.
Hey, when you head north, Charlevoix, Harbor Springs, they're all kind of one and the same.
I don't know about that. I'm going to have to take you to both of those locations. They are way different.
You're probably right, but I don't get up that way. Well, I don't get out that much anyway. You know me. My radius of travel is about 50 miles.
Oh, you could easily make it to Charlevoix, I believe. Well, no, yeah, see, what you got to do, though, is you got to discount the length of the peninsula, because you got to do that to get anywhere. So you can throw that number out the window. So once you get to Traverse City, then you start paying attention to your 50-mile radius.
That's probably true. You know, my benchmark is to my favorite store in Menard, which is 33 miles from my house, so that's kind of my benchmark.
So from the Menards at Chum's Corner to your place is 33 miles?
Yeah, is that good or bad?
Wow, I did not realize it would be that far. That's a bit of a hike. It's a bit of a hike from there, wow. Yeah, well, I guess downtown's a little better. You could make a left turn there and head north, but wow, yeah, that is quite a hike out there. I remember the last time I was talking to you, I was out in Northport area, and I was going by that beautiful glass house that's up on the hill. If you're heading towards the point, it's on the right-hand side. I don't know what that area is called, but there's a house out there that I've always liked.
Oh, is that the one on M-22, less than a mile from my house, just up from Duneburg?
Yeah, that's it. That's the one. I was at, as a matter of fact, I was at, dropped the wife off at Duneburg that day, and I took a little ride up to the old airport up there, because I like those old grass fields, kind of cool. But, that's a cool looking house.
Well, you'll have to go on the realtor sites or whatever. It's for sale.
Oh, again, yeah. You know I can't afford it, but I do like looking at it. I've been looking at properties in Ireland and Italy and things like that. Boy, there's some deals. I don't know how far out they are or what kind of condition they're in, but there's some real deals in foreign countries. Some of those countries will pay like 80,000 euros to remodel the place and stuff.
Now you've got sons or daughters over in Italy? I can't remember which.
Yeah, so they live in Dublin right now, but my son-in-law is Italian, and obviously my daughter is British. But she might be in Ireland, not British. What am I saying? She's American. She lived in England for so long. I think she's British because she talks with a British accent. But she'll probably have lived in Ireland long enough to get citizenship. We'll see what happens.
You know, it's kind of funny. Yesterday I was shopping for clothes and trying to look up my Scottish clan for tartan wear, the various tartan stuff. You know, I didn't want a kilt. I was more looking for a button-down shirt or flannel stuff. You know, in my Clans Tartan.
Oh yeah, that's if you're over in Scotland, it's pretty easy to do. There's a town, heck, I can't remember the name of it, but there's a town in North Carolina I've been to that has a whole store dedicated to Scottish heritage, and you can get everything from kilts to hats and everything in between in your family tartan.
Well, I'll tell you where I got confused. There is an ancient tartan, a modern tartan, a hunting tartan, and a jubileus tartan. They're very, well, they look different to me, but I guess there's some similarities. I don't exactly know how that works.
Yeah, I'd be going for the ancient one. I like the old stuff. So. But I wonder if you look up the history of all that extra history, if it's just a recent thing in the past 100 years or couple hundred years, and the old one was around for a long time. I bet that is interesting. Yeah, I guess the Irish have some similar. Traditions, and I guess part of my heritage is Scottish also. My grandfather was an Anderson on my mother's side.
Yeah, and I kind of forget whether or not I'm truly Scottish or Irish. Whether or not we were Protestant and got kicked out of Scotland and kicked to Ireland, or vice versa, one way or the other. I don't remember which, how that worked back in the, 1378, so many, many, many years ago.
Well, I'm pretty much half Irish, a quarter Portuguese, and a quarter Scottish for the most part. A little bit of strangeness here and there, but all those migrations back in the ancient days. But that's a major breakdown. And I think my skin got the Portuguese part of me.
Alpha Charlie Delta Golf. Well, my history gets a little vague because my relative he signed on as a seaman over in Scotland or Ireland or one of those two, and you sign in for a contract. It's kind of like getting shanghaied. Well, he jumped ship in Boston, and that's how my family made it to North America.
Oh, that's kind of cool. A deserter? No. That happened a lot with slaves along the coast also. They would jump and swim to shore. Interesting. Yeah, that's one way to get off the damn boat. I think a lot of those guys were like indentured servants until they served their time, and they probably paid them less than they needed to buy their way out of it.
Yeah, it's something like that, right? They'd sign on for X number of voyages or years, or who knows how that worked. One of my relatives wanted to get to America, so he jumped. Of course, he had to change his name a few times when he arrived in North America, so it really gets fuzzy.
Oh, wow. So was he on a sailing ship or something more modern?
It would have been a sailing ship, early 1800s.
Oh, wow. That's some deep history. That's pretty cool. When I was in Ireland, Dublin, I did a tour of a replica of one of the famine ships that that brought people to the Americas during the potato famine. Well, it was pretty interesting how deep they packed people in the boats. It was pretty cramped quarters for I don't know, months, I guess, to get across the pond.
Yeah, I have tried to do some research on how they preserve food for a 40-day plus passage across the pond. And it's quite interesting how they lived off of salted meat and things like that. Kind of scary.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of that back in those days. The biggest deal was water, because you can't break that down into much else other than water, and it's got some weight to it, so and it's hard to store, and the volume is the volume, so water is the big deal on the famine ships. They ran out of water, it got pretty bad.
Oh, you don't have to stop it. I don't know. I think that happens when you have a little bit of mobile flutter and your signal drops in and out. Yeah, you know, that's kind of the history behind it. They couldn't transport water, so they would transport, do they call it mead or grog? What is that? It's kind of fermented.
Yeah. Yeah, booze, and I guess it kept the sailors happy too. But it's tough being out in the ocean on a large sailing vessel in those days. I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of chances for weird things to happen.
Well, hey, Mr. Rick, I gotta go. My basement alarm just said there's water detected in my basement. Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf. Hey, 7-3s. I'll talk to you soon.
7-3s. Best of luck. You shouldn't have been talking about water. KI-7, QMD Mobile.
KI-7, QMD. KI-7, QMD. KC-8, VSU. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Toby. How's your day starting off?
Oh, good. Had my breakfast. I have been at the station. We have a company coming over. It's got to do a couple oil changes on the last two trucks. And then I've got training tonight, so I'm a little busy today.
Yeah, well, that's good. You've got stuff going on. It's always fun when things are happening. A little less boring that way. So how many gallons of oil does truck use?
I think one's got, I don't know how many quarts our one truck has. Our F-450, I think, has got probably 10 quarts, I think, or so. I don't know. And then they're doing our ATV oil change as well. One of our trucks takes about 13 quarts of oil.
Yeah, that's getting a little bit bigger. Yeah, I remember when I was a youngin', I had to change the oil on the crane. You want to talk about a lot of oil. It was gallons. I think it was like 4 gallons or something like that, 5 gallons. And then a couple extra quarts. Those big engines take oil. I guess the trucks at which fire station? Is the one right there near the Oasis, or the one that's down towards the sheep farm?
Well, the two trucks that we have today are at the North Station there in Keewaydin. So they're coming over from Gaylord to do that, because we've already had trucks took over to Grayling to our manufacturer to one of our companies, and they did the pump test, and while it was over there, they sent down to the shop and had all the oil changes and VOTs done.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking it'd be a little more efficient to bring it to the shop. It's a pain in the neck doing stuff like that in the field, but an ATV, it's a pain in the neck no matter where you do it.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. They've done my car before, you know, but it's no problem. They can get it done. I think one takes 26 quarts. I don't know offhand. All I know is they get full of oil. I check them. They're good. We run them. They're good. So, yeah. So, no, we have a rescue and ATV to do because they've done all the other trucks. So, yeah. Let's see, what else is there? Nothing else. Like I say, we got training tonight, and I have to be at the station on Thursday morning. The chief and I have some stuff to do, and it's okay. Well, have you got all the boats out yet?
Hello, Delta 8, the Beck Meister Pod. It is QMP, listening via Echo Lincoln.